The following is a presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.
Yeah, I mean, I think every day I've been trying to focus on my preparation each day, and then just going and playing and having fun.
You saw it today, great at bats, really out there, turn it over to the next guy, willing to take their walks, using all fields. Yeah, the offense looked really strong today. Guys continue to work, get better. Great day offensively.
Well, you know, we know it's a forearm strain, and you know, he's being seen by the doctor, so it'll probably be shut down for a couple of weeks, and then we'll see from there.
Good morning, happy Monday, and welcome to X's and Bros here on the Michigan Sports Network. Good morning to all of you across the great state of Michigan and to our friends in the Glass City. It is Monday, the 27th day of July, 2020. That's Danny Cahalan and Ryan Elke. I'm Anthony Bellino. Plenty of ways for you to get in contact with us this morning on the program. You can text the keyword sports radio to 21,000. That's sports radio to 21,000. Auto Value guest line 313-396-5527. 313-396-5527. And of course, we're on Twitter at XB Mornings, on Facebook at X's and Bros. And good morning to all of our television viewers as well on Comcast Channel 900. If you're trying to look for any of us to tweet at any of us individually or get a hold of us, Dan is at Dan in the Studio, Ryan is at Ryan L underscore Key, and I am at AC Bellino. It's a pleasure to have you with us. You heard from Dansby Swanson, David Ross, Dusty Baker there. The opening weekend of the 2020 MLB season, a lot of different things happening. A lot of, I wouldn't say necessarily controversy, but maybe some, you know, good talking points for people like us, and you know, just great to have something back on the screen over the weekend. Ryan, Dan, good morning to both of you. How are you? How was the weekend? How you feeling?
Too short.
Too short.
Don't they just fly by?
What's my favorite word?
I'm not that singing too short? I will not sing that on the radio. Thank you. It was just, dude, the weekends fly by. Well, I mean,
they do.
It seems
doesn't
like
life though.
I think it was like 12 hours I wasn't here, and then I'm back here. And I mean, you were on the golf course, I think. Was that this weekend, right?
Well, so I played in the University of Toledo's. Well, I got word. I need to tell you this, and hopefully Freddie can hear this if he's listening right now. I can't play in his outing this weekend.
Why not? Oh,
I'm not allowed
yeah.
to.
I know
yeah,
you're
not
already
allowed
told
to play
us.
In Freddie the Pizza Man's outing because the course is too short. I'm flexing for those on television. No, I played on Friday. I'll tell you what, man. I hit the snot out of the ball. I did. My shoulders hurt so bad Friday on my drive home. I could barely even steer the car just from carrying this team for 18 holes, just hours out there, just carrying them. And then they didn't have any cool, like they had coolers out on the course. It was a scramble for Toledo football. So they had coolers out on the course, but I needed a cooler for the cart, right? I should have came prepared. I didn't bring anything with me. I just assumed I could get a plastic bag with some ice in it. So I'm getting 3, 4, 5 beers at a time. And I mean, I was rifling through and I was feeling real loose after about the second hole. And I was getting after it. I played really well. It's just that my team let me down. I'm going to come right out and say it. I blame my teammates. I'm looking around. I'm going, where the hell is everybody? Now, the guy.
I mean,
the,
did you guys at least score well, or did you just end not win? Or what was
no,
the
we
deal?
Didn't, we didn't do really do anything well. We finished at 3 under. As a team in a 4-man scramble. But it really, it was a case of, hey, look, man, you got to carry this group and, you know, we'll see what happens from there. And to be honest with you, it was one of, it was a former alum's first time ever playing. Cause I played as a single. So they threw me in a group, which I was fine with. So it was his first time ever playing golf. So I was like, oh yeah, let's get the beer flowing early. But I just needed somebody to make a putt at some point. We just didn't play well. And then the guy who did win it, and I thought that the winners got a really cool prize. They all got football helmets, like legit, authentic football helmets for winning, which I thought was awesome. But the team that won it had an ex-pro on their team. Kid who's about our age, and he gave up being a club pro in order to be, I believe he works in insurance sales now. And he just pipes it. I mean, he's 5'8", 5'9", probably 170 pounds soaking wet, and this guy just absolutely knocks the cover off the ball. It's incredible to watch. And he's accurate. He's accurate as all, you know, his 2 days are long. Like, it's pretty wild. So they ended up winning it. But, yeah, once Freddie the Pizza Man told me that I wasn't going to be able to play just because the course was too short. I said, look, man, I understand. I get it. No hard feelings here. I'm not going to hold it against you. Did you see the news on the Astros shutting down Justin Verlander for, quote, a couple of weeks? A report circled earlier on the internet about how he was going to be done. And then all of a sudden Verlander came out and wanted to make sure that everybody knew that this is just a strain. It's not an elbow. It's a forearm strain. But I thought it was pretty interesting, the amount of people that were, you know, so quick to write him off. And Justin Verlander's injury is, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if this is a sign of...
Come on. Have you ever, let's be honest, Anthony. Yes. I mean, have you ever strained your forearm?
Never. Never. But these guys don't pitch for 2 weeks because of blisters. Like, if stuff happens.
Well, blisters are one thing. A forearm strain, they say that's what they always cover up major injuries with. They always say forearm strain.
Forearm strain. I'm trying to think.
How do you strain your forearm? I mean, unless you're extremely dehydrated, it'd be pretty difficult.
Well, no, if you're doing just the wrist barbell curl.
What
that's
did you
it.
Just say? He's
wow. He shouldn't have to worry about that with Cade Upton. My thing is, like, okay, so what if he was working out and trying to? Did he do it actively pitching?
Well, I'm sure he was. Well, he had already pitched right this year. He must have pitched their opener, right?
He disputes that he's done for the season, and I just don't know. Two sources, according to the Houston Chronicle, with knowledge of the situation, said that Verlander would miss the rest of the season. Verlander's tweet, Astros manager Dusty Baker also pumped the brakes and said, we'll reevaluate, shut down for a couple weeks, reevaluate. Verlander's 37 felt tenderness in his arm during his start on Friday against the Mariners.
See, I don't know if Verlander realizes that in a couple weeks, the season is already half over.
This is true.
I think that, like, maybe he hasn't gotten the full concept of, like, yeah, season's like 2.5 months, man. Like, you might be done for the whole year.
We also had big news that 4 Marlins players have tested positive for coronavirus, and the team delayed their flight home until today. They're going to arrive just hours before their game against the Orioles. So here we go, man. This is it. How does Major League Baseball handle it? 4 players testing positive. What are they going to do? A lot of questions there. And with only a minute left to spare before we got to hit the break, I don't even think we're going to have time for the cool music and whatnot, but we'll get you updated on a little bit of what's going on in the sports world as NFL players who attend, quote, high-risk events and contract coronavirus face team discipline and potentially no pay either, which I like this idea if you're the NFL. If you're the NFL and people are at home, you're going to have to – I don't know how you regulate it, though. Like, how are you going to be able to know if somebody attended some sort of party or if somebody just invited somebody to their house?
Ask,
you know,
Lou Williams.
Okay, so we can get into the Lou Williams thing, too. We'll do that on the other side because Clay Travis was tweeting about it, and it's like, if you don't know, you don't know. Guy's got his own chicken wing flavor there. And it's like, hey, I mean, if that's where you wanted to get food from, I probably would have discouraged it. But, I mean, if that's all you're doing. 6 players put on the NFL's reserve COVID-19 list. 6 players include a couple of veterans, Cleveland Browns running back Dontrell Hilliard, Dallas Cowboys wide receiver Jonvay Johnson, 4 undrafted rookies, Baltimore Ravens defensive back Nigel Warrior, Cincinnati's defensive end Kendall Fuller, Browns DB Javonte Moffitt, and Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver Aliva Heifel. So I think that interesting there, Jonvay, if you've never heard that name for the Dallas Cowboys, you would have got some action. He's a Mac kid. He's from the University of Toledo, but he's on the COVID list now. The Giants are releasing Pro Bowl kicker Aldrick Rosas. So he's been released. And I believe who did they sign in return? Did the Giants? Or were they looking at former Patriot kicker? Maybe Gostkowski. Jets running back Le'Veon Bell aims his shots at Jamal Adams after the trade saga. And that was interesting that it unfolded on Twitter. So we'll step aside. We'll come back. Lou Williams got some chicken wings. The Tigers won their first series of the season. All that and more here on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.
Attention, Davenport University graduating class of 2020. A large number of your fellow Davenport 2020 graduates are not happy with Davenport's current plan for graduation ceremonies and would like change. If you agree and feel change needs to be made, join our Facebook group, Protest for Change DU 2020 Graduation. That's Protest for Change DU 2020 Graduation on Facebook. Other college graduates are getting more. Let Davenport's administration know your hard work deserves better.
If you or your family is touched by autism, learn more about Freddy's Foundation at hashtag PopTheTap at FreddyThePizzaMan.com. That's F-R-E-D-I, ThePizzaMan.com. Or email FreddyThePizzaMan@gmail.com.
Bill Simonson here for the sports medicine team at Metro Health University of Michigan Health. Now, they serve the entire state, and they offer up some of the best sports physicians, physical therapists, access to some of the best surgeons, and also a training staff that covers every sport, high school, youth, college, and pro. You can go to metrohealth.net. Just click on sports medicine. If you or a child of yours has suffered an injury, and you want to get back to playing or maybe going out for that nightly jog, they can help. Or maybe your child wants to return to that game they love to play. Go to metrohealth.net. Just click on sports medicine. From youth to high school to college to semi-pro and pro sports, they are the leaders when it comes to dealing with sports injuries. Find out more. Go to metrohealth.net. Just click on sports medicine. That's metrohealth.net.
Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Great to be with you on this Monday morning. No matter who you are, where you are, how you may be listening, we appreciate you making us a part of your day each and every weekday morning from 6 to 9 here on the Michigan Sports Network. I'm Anthony Bellino, joined alongside by Danica Haidland and Ryan Elke. Plenty of ways for you to get in contact with the show. You can tweet at us at XB Mornings. You can call us on the Auto Value Guest Line, 313-396-5527, 313-396-5527. Or you can text the keyword sports radio to 21,000, sports radio to 21,000. Let's get into what took place over the weekend, and that was the opening of the 2020 MLB season, which was fantastic, and a series victory for the Detroit Tigers, which after Friday night, let's be honest, I wasn't feeling too positive about things. But CJ Cronin and company, they picked up a 3-2 victory as the Tigers knocked off the Reds yesterday in a game that was a pitcher's duel. I like Trevor Bauer, tried to have some fun out there at least a little bit. You know, he's kind of a wacko, but he went 6 1/3, gave up 2 hits, 1 run, one of which was earned, struck out 13 out of 106 pitches. His ERA sits at 1.42 after that outing. And Bauer, at one point in the game when he was about to get pulled, I forget who he had just struck out, but do you remember when he was in Cleveland and Tito Francona came out and Bauer turned around and threw the ball out to like center field?
Oh yeah, that was a hilarious moment.
He mocked that yesterday, and I don't know how many people saw it or caught up on it or whatever the case may be, but he was getting ready to get pulled, and as he caught the ball from the catcher after he just struck somebody out, he turned around and like pump faked as if he was going to throw it into center field. And, you know, but he was all smiles. He was laughing about it. It was good. Good learning experience, maybe for
that,
the first
and
time in Cleveland.
He realized with no fans in the stands, it reverts to beer league softball. He has to go get that ball. Like,
yeah,
no one else
absolutely.
Can do it.
You got to run that down. You got to throw it and then, like, catch it for yourself. Spencer Turnbull in five innings, surrendered just three hits, one earned run. He walked four, did strike out eight, and threw 87 pitches. His ERA sits at 1.80. But how about Gregory Soto and the outing that he had for the Detroit Tigers, going two innings and then zeros across the board with four strikeouts? I mean, that was fantastic. No hits, no runs, nothing, no walks, four Ks on only 23 pitches. So a fantastic outing there for Soto, which I thought was interesting, because Cisnero got the victory, and Jimenez, he got the save. And still, to me, I don't know why. Like, I know why baseball is scored the way that they are, or scored the way that it is, for the batters to be able to get the numbers that should be, as far as like win, loss, save, hold, the numbers that they should be responsible for. But for Gregory Soto to get nothing there is pretty kind of like, come on, guys.
I mean, what do you? It's that's just the way it's been. How are you going to change it? What are you going to call that? I mean, do you think he should get the win?
I mean,
I don't know. I mean, you just have to look. You have to look at their innings pitched and their, you know, the ERA, their WHIP. That's how you decide how good they are, not whether they got a win or a loss or a save.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
Oh, I mean, it's just like the Jacob DeGrom argument. I mean, yeah, he goes whatever 3-11, but he has a 1.8 ERA. That's kind of on the team.
Yeah, and I guess it does when you look at pitchers and then you look at quarterbacks. How much does the win matter? Because you know that, like, a lot of the times that they're, you know, and you might say they're more responsibility on the quarterback, but then again, he can't play defense. I mean, the only defense a quarterback can play throughout a football game is to keep his offense out on the field. That's it. So if you look at what the pitcher is doing, you know, I don't know. What do we give Soto there? He doesn't get a quality appearance? That's not even a thing. You can get a quality start. But regardless, you know, we're not here for stats. Stats are for losers, in the words of Herm Edwards. The Detroit Tigers, man, I mean, there are going to be some questions here because the numbers on strikeouts are staggering. The Tigers hitters struck out 16 times, and a lot of people made a big deal. I saw on Twitter about that. Like, oh my goodness, can you believe how many times the Tigers struck out? Well, yeah, they struck out 16 times yesterday. Well, guess what? The Reds struck out 13 times. An out is an out. I don't know why we're getting all bent out of shape about this, but isn't it the Harvard analytical people at MIT and all these guys, Columbia, aren't they the ones telling us that it doesn't matter if you strike out or ground out or fly out, an out is an out? Just swing at it? Isn't that what they're telling us? Like, there's no repercussion for striking out. A strikeout in today's game doesn't mean half of what it used to back in the 70s. If you walked up to the dish in the 70s and you struck out that many times, you'd be getting sent down. Now they're like, hey, yeah, it's fine. Quality of bats, that might be a little bit of a strain. But Miggy had a quality one where he was able to draw a walk. And therefore, you know, because he draws the walk and a moonshot gets him on, and it was C.J. Cronin with the two-run home run in the ninth, and that was because Miggy had a really nice at-bat. Maybe that will rub off on some of the other guys. Maybe it won't. Don't really know. But I do know this much. If you're going to strike out, and part of that is like, hey, you can't have the opposing pitcher strike out the side in 12 pitches. Like, that's just not going to work. Like, eventually you're going to have to work on trying to get the starter out of the game at some point. But Trevor Bauer was great yesterday. It was a great performance. Did the Tigers swing and miss a lot? Sure, in the first three games, yeah, they have. But I thought the analytics told us that didn't matter if you strike out. An out is an out.
Well, when there's no one on base, an out is an out. But you can have...
This is true.
If
this
people are on base, true. You can have productive outs. You know,
anytime you can move a runner.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, if there's nobody on base, which there definitely wasn't yesterday, for the first eight innings, there was no one on base yesterday. So, I mean, the strikeouts didn't matter. But they, you know, once it mattered, C.J. Cronin came up clutch.
This is true. And, you know, the other fact, and I think that as you look at the there's no way they can keep up all these strikeouts and whatnot, right? The way that, you know, people talk about that, the same way they're talking about, there's no way the Tigers hitting can keep up these home runs. Nico Goodrum, he put one over the fence to get the Tigers on the board. You had Jacoby Jones in a late game homer that was able to seal the deal on Saturday against the Reds in a 6-4 victory. But I think that overall, no matter how you get it, it doesn't necessarily matter. Like, sure, the trend might not be great, but it's a 60 game season. You're going to play less than half of the regular games you would. So you can strike out as much as you want, as far as I'm concerned. As long as at the end of the day, you got a green W and more runs scored than the other team, that's all that really matters. How you get there doesn't make any difference. But I did see, and Friday, I'm not going to lie, how did you feel after Friday's game when they got beat 7-1? How did you feel after that game? Because I'm not going to lie, I got a text from John Wagner, and he's like, it's too early, don't say anything. And I texted him back, I'm like, this team is awful. I was watching that video, and I can't remember who it was. He threw the ball directly into the ground in right field.
Was it Cameron Maben?
Yeah, it's Cameron Maben. Just threw it right into the ground. I'm like, this is the Tigers baseball viewing experience right here for 2020, summed up on opening day in one highlight. But then, okay, so after Friday's dumpster fire, hey, by this morning, I'm here to say, look, we're at 40-20. The playoffs are definitely, we're on pace for the playoffs. We're going to go 40-20 yeah. this year.
After Friday's game, it felt like the world was normal again. The Tigers scoring one run and just looking abysmal. Like it just felt like pre-COVID coronavirus. Like, we're back.
We're back.
Like, everything is right with the world. Baseball's back. I'm just, the Tigers are awful. You know, let's just move on with the world. And then by Sunday, I was yelling at the TV. I clapped so loud when Spencer Turnbull struck out Nick Castellanos, I woke up my 2-year-old who was napping. Like, I got that excited.
Really?
I mean,
it does feel good.
It was nice to, like, cheer for baseball again.
This is true. And it was, you know, anytime that you see a former player, whether it's Castellanos or Suarez, you hope they go down swinging, right? All right, we're going to step aside. When we return, Kyle Barlow will join us. College hoops hit the hardwood for practice. Last week, we'll catch up with him on a whole bunch of different topics. That's coming up next here on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.
Huge here for the incredible Tullymore Golf Resort. Now, they're located in Canadian Lakes, Michigan, which is less than an hour north of GR, a couple hours from Detroit, maybe an hour and a half if you're coming down from Traverse City. It's accessible to everybody listening right now, and it's one of America's top public golf resorts. They offer two 18-hole layouts, Tullymore and St. Ives. They have fantastic stay-and-play packages, like the Sizzle and Summer deal that includes a prime rib dinner. Go to TullymoreGolf.com, book that stay and play package, mention the Huge Show, and you could save at TullymoreGolf.com. Also, check out the lodge. It holds 24 people if you want to have the ultimate stay and play getaway when it comes to golf and also after your round. They offer fine dining to great sandwiches and more. See it for yourself at TullymoreGolf.com. That is TullymoreGolf.com, the Tullymore Golf Resort in Canadian Lakes, Michigan.
These days, we're all looking for ways to keep our families safe and our homes free of bacteria and viruses. To help in these uncertain times, your local Rood dealer is offering a free healthy home analysis. They'll inspect your current system and make sure it's keeping you and your family safe from airborne contaminants. Visit Rood.com. That's R-U-U-D.com to find a dealer near you and to schedule your free healthy home analysis. Breathe easy and breathe healthy. Rely on Rood.
Huge here for Watson Rockford. The most exciting new Ram truck store in Michigan has joined the Watson Country family of dealerships, known for the best selection and best price on new Ram trucks anywhere in Michigan. Watson Rockford is also an exclusive Business Link dealer, and that means they know trucks, including a full line of Ram commercial trucks like ProMaster. At Watson Rockford, we don't expect your business. We do everything we can to earn it. Get your best price on your new Ram or Jeep during the summer clearance event. Watson Rockford, off of 131, exit 101, and M50.
Oh.
Welcome back to X's and Bros here on the Michigan Sports Network. We have Ryan Elke and Danica Halen in the studio. I'm Anthony Bellino, and joining us on the horn right now is the assistant men's basketball coach for the Ohio University. It is Kyle Barlow and the Bobcats. Coach Barlow, first and foremost, thanks for, this is what, 3-4 weeks in a row here on X's and Bros with the two of us.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And thanks again for having me on. I'm excited to be talking about all sorts of sports in the sector, man. What do you got for me?
Well, many may or may not know by now that you did your graduate years under Beeline there at the University of Michigan, and you are a Michigan man and by birthright or birthplace. I guess birthright doesn't necessarily make sense, but birthplace does. And so I wanted to start off first off on the college hoops end, because that's where you're employed at. Guys were able to get back onto the court last week. What was that like to be able to work out? What were some of the protocols that you guys had to follow? Take us through kind of what it looked like. I just imagine the ball gets touched by 12 people and somebody's gonna run over there with like a bowl of sanitizer and hose it down or something. And then four people over here, four people over there. Everybody get like outside of 6 feet and just kind of try to maintain the best you can. Do they have to play with masks on? How does the whole thing work?
Oh, great question. We'll get into it. But first of all, you said birthright, birthplace, like we're on Game of Thrones, Like the throne was your birthright. You were supposed to be head of the house Winterfell or head of the house Stark. That's your birthright, man. I love it. Remember when we used to talk Game of Thrones on air? That was great.
Did Game of Thrones end when it wasn't even a topic of conversation during a quarantine? Nobody even went back to Game of Thrones to even watch it. It was like, how bad did that have to be? For people not to go back and rewatch it the way that thing ended.
Well, I'll throw you another question. How much money or more money or ratings-wise would have gone up HBO and Game of Thrones if this was the final season during quarantine?
Oh, can you imagine? It would have been something. It would have been awesome.
I mean, it would have been the people who didn't even watch it, and just got dragged to watch it because that's the only thing on. And then they would have started binging. They'd be like, Let me see what all the fuss is about. I didn't have time before. Let me see what all the fuss is about. Let's start this. Let's run it back. And I'll catch up by the sixth or seventh episode and be ready to go, man. I think it would have been through the roof, similar how the Jordan documentary just kind of lifted the spirit of the United States during that time. But, yeah, I think it would have been great. And, timing just didn't align for it. But there you go. But I digress. Basketball-wise, man, it was great getting on the floor with our guys, around the country. A lot of teams, or every team was allowed to, but not every team did because of either university regulations, state regulations, or just funding things. But, we were fortunate enough to be able to get on the floor and work with our guys. And, they did not have to wear masks, but we do. And so when we're on the floor coaching them, we are required to wear masks, and they're not required to wear them. And I found out very quick to no longer work out with a cloth mask and try and work out our guys and try to guard them and teach them skills, certain specific offensive skill things while guarding them. It got very hot under that cloth mask and very hard, difficult to breathe. I felt like I was training for, I felt like I was training for stage 4 of the Tour de France. You know how you limit oxygen to your lungs so your lungs are capable of working at high capacity without as much oxygen. I felt like I was Lance Armstrong training for stage 4 when I was out there guarding those guys,
Well, they make the masks too. I see them sometimes. People are wearing those in the gym. And by the way, I don't even know if you can hear the music in the background. I'm pumping in the Game of Thrones theme right now as we speak because you took it that direction. So I was like, I can find that real quick and play it.
You're pumping me up.
See, and you think about it, this cloth mask is hot. Imagine having to run across an open field in late spring, early summer to do combat in full armor and chain link mail and the whole deal. That would be hot. One of those helmets, one of those giant 5 gallon buckets with the eye holes cut out that you had to wear on top of your head made of metal. That would be hot.
And you got Drogon breathing down your neck, literally, with Daenerys riding it. I mean, that's hot. So the cloth mask, you're right. What am I even complaining for? You're right, absolutely. But, that being said, I did go on Amazon on a Tuesday night and ordered some of those polyester scarves that you pull up from your neck and you place over your face mask like you're going to stick up your local 7-Eleven, one of those things. So it was that much more breathable. I tried it out Friday, and, I had my... I had my American flag one, and then I got my Jaws one for next week. I'm gonna throw that out because, you know, we want sharks on that floor. We don't want minnows, you know.
Oh, I like that. I like that a lot. I think that's a nice little motivational cloth that you're wearing there, Coach. You're gonna have those sharks. We don't want any minnows. So you guys get back on the court, and obviously some things are a little bit different. How often does your team have to test? I mean, basketball, it's a lot smaller roster size than football, for example. In the NFL, they're working their issues out. In college football, who in the hell even knows what's going to happen with college football? But how often are your guys tested, and what's kind of like the procedures for your players once practice is over? Because, you know, okay, you might get them for 2.5 or 3 hours, but then they got 21 hours left in the day.
Yeah, no, that's the complication that college athletics have to deal with. So our guys had to quarantine for 10 days if they were in state, 14 days if they're out of state as soon as they got back to campus. And then after that quarantine period, they were tested. And we were lucky enough not to have any negative or any positive tests in our team. So, you know, right now, to answer your question about, you know, we are no longer testing. Like, we don't do a weekly or day-to-day like the NBA is doing, but we're trying to create a bubble as best we can. And right now it's very easy because there's no students back on campus. So a lot of our guys live together in the dorms. You know, we have the guys who are already passed their tests living with each other in the dorms, or the guys who have not quarantining with each other. So, you know, as best as we can, we're trying to create a mini bubble environment. And it's working out so far. I mean, we don't have any symptoms, luckily, knock on wood. But, you know, right now, it's just that's the way life is lived. And, you know, we got to have, like, we have dinners over at, you know, coaches' houses and things like that, just so our guys aren't getting into, you know, not feeling the temptation to go to house parties or things of that nature, which are big spreaders of the virus.
Yeah, it has been, it's been very challenging for some of these colleges. I mean, we saw that, you know, who was it? Michigan State had to quarantine this past Saturday. Rutgers had to stop all of their in-person team activities and quarantine the entire football program after 6 additional positive tests were announced on Saturday. The program had, I think, 10 total positive tests since returning to campus on June 15th. Ohio State, they put a pause to all of their athletic performance, I want to say like a week and a half or 2 weeks ago. So it's very, very trying. It's even trying on the professional level. We saw that Lou Williams, who went to one of his favorite nightclub / restaurants when he got granted some freedom to go home to Atlanta, and he was, I think he was going to a funeral home. So he got an excused absence and then decided to go to Magic City of all places to get a bite to eat, which I saw this on the internet and I don't know if it's true, but allegedly he has his own wing sauce named after him there.
It's one of those things, right? It's like, you know, I go to Magic City for the wings. It's like, you know, you get Playboy for the articles, right? Is that one of those things? Is that a fair comparison?
I think that's a very fair and realistic comparison right there. For hey, the food might be good. I mean, according to what I've been researching on Twitter, there are some evening nightclubs. Is that a good way to put it? Some evening clubs have a very good restaurant.
Frequent.
Yes, they have a very reputable restaurant and culinary aspect to them. So, I mean, I guess to each their own, but you should know better and you can't do it. And even we're seeing even the pros slip up every once in a while and make some decisions. But as long as they're in the bubble, it seems like everything's working.
And they test daily in the NBA, and they're positive tests are very, very minimal right now. So the NBA, and shout out David Stern, because he's doing a phenomenal job, and those guys are doing a phenomenal job of being disciplined and creating that bubble atmosphere. I gotta ask you, man, what other sport besides the NBA professionalized can actually create a bubble environment and have it be successful, in your opinion?
Well, Adam Silver, and I'm not trying to be that guy, but just, you know, I think you said David Stern, and that's okay because David Stern had such a long-lasting impact as the commissioner.
Oh, my fault. Adam Silver.
Totally fine.
May he rest in peace. May he rest in peace.
Yes, indeed. He was like, I think it was David Stern in January, and Kobe was in February, correct?
Yeah, February, because I was actually out recruiting that day. and it was like a somber, like the life of the gym just went out when everybody just looked out at their phone at some point during the day. It was a crazy experience. But yes, February.
Okay. All right. So I'm gonna type it in just to make sure I'm 100% correct, because David Stern was New Year's Day and Kobe Bryant was according to, was it Wikipedia,
January
26th. So very, very
yeah,
close.
Okay. Yep.
I remember him being within like 3 to 4 weeks, and just thinking, because I was actually working at Michigan women's basketball game when that news came down. Because it was right around, you know, I don't know, between like noon or 2 o'clock. I forget what time the tip off was, but the news came down. I was like, there's no way. And it was like Bleacher Report and everybody else was sending notifications. That's all anybody could talk about at the table. But I digress. I think your question was in regards to what else could work in a bubble format. And the only thing I can really think of, because baseball is going to be traveling, so we'll kind of use them for a guinea pig to see how they operate and how maybe that would translate to the NFL. So far through the opening weekend of baseball, things seem pretty good, especially if you're a Tigers fan. I think that the other sport that can bubble and do it well, I believe in my heart, is going to be hockey, just because of the limited roster that they have and the fact that they have two hub cities and they've already played a majority of their season. So they're moving right into their qualifying tournament, if you will, which I think that actually benefits them. You know, baseball didn't really have much of a choice but to try to pick up and, you know, do what the best they can and have to take a little bit of a risk with the travel.
Yeah, do you know why, and maybe I missed it, but do you know why baseball chose to do the home stadium type format rather than maybe a spring training type format where everybody's either in Florida, you know, you have your grapefruit or your Cactus League, either you're in Florida or Arizona. Why did baseball choose to do it this way? Do you know?
I do not. I know that the Florida and Arizona were ideas for hub cities when the early conversations were happening. And then, you know, it just kind of fell apart, because I know I think it was the players. The players didn't want to spend, you know, the entire season away from their families. And I don't know. That's a really good question.
So it was one of those bargaining chips with the CBA. Because so, that's what it all came down to with baseball, from my understanding, was the CBA and bargaining chips. And, you know, they're going to have a new CBA in a year anyway. So they were using this as that makes more sense. But, hey, speaking of baseball, how about them Tigers, man? Shout out Matt Shepard on a call on Fox Sports Detroit. How about them Tigers, man? Taking 2 out of 3 from the Reds down here in Cincinnati. A lot of Reds fans. Saw a lot of Reds stuff around Athens this week, and couldn't help but wear my Tigers hat, I got to say.
Look, man, they're on pace to win 40 games, and that's all that matters. It's all about pace. You take your first series of the season. You build a little confidence. Everybody starts to feel you know, somewhat good, I guess. And the interesting thing about it is they only manufactured 3 hits in the entire game yesterday, but they end up winning 3-2. You take your first series, and I think that, you know, hey, that's really all you can do, one game at a time, and really focus in on each and every game, because the importance of each one. And look, I mean, they're up top in the standings. Like, I mean, what else do people want? You know, it's July and the Tigers are in the lead.
Yeah. I mean, we can take that view. I agree. I mean, it's July, Tigers in the league. Shout out Jordan Strack was one of the first ones to say that. And I'm like, oh, okay, let's all pump the brakes. We're 2-1. I'm the biggest Tigers slappy there is, first of all. And, you know, I thought that their pitching and defense was very, very good. You know, shout out Spencer Turnbull for the outing he put out on Sunday. But, you know, the thing that, you know, we got to ask, is it sustainable, is the home runs. You mentioned that, you know, they were held to, what, 3 hits, I believe, on Sunday, 2 of which were probably home runs, I think.
Yes.
Because then Crone, was it Crone? Crone had another one, right?
Yeah, he
had the go-ahead.
Yep, yeah. He hit the tie-breaking 2-run shot in the 9th inning, and, Tigers beat up the bullpen a little bit.
Yeah, so which the Reds actually do have a great bullpen, but so anyways, you're looking at the Tigers, you're, okay, can we sustain this home run, this clutch home run hitting to win games? Because last year, I believe they hit the lowest amount of home runs in the major leagues, and I think they're on pace in 60 games as of this weekend, which we can talk about pace and projections, like you said. We're on pace to hit more. I say we because I'm a Tigers fan. You know, we're Michigan baby. We're on pace to hit more than 162-game schedule just based off the weekend, I believe. So you have to take it with a grain of salt. Is that sustainable? But we got to take the positives, right? The young kids looking good, the free agent signings, you know. It reminds me a little of 2006, where we signed like a Kenny Rogers, a guy like that, a veteran on the mound. You know, we signed the Crone, and then who's the other one? With starts with an S. Killing me, right?
Jonathan Scope.
Scope. Yeah, we signed these two veterans. You know, it's a 1 to 2 year deals, which don't really hurt our cap that much, but make huge impacts, I'm sure, in the clubhouse and just the veteran leadership, and we're seeing it pay off already.
Yeah, and later on tonight, you can catch Michael Fulmer making his first appearance since September 25th of 2018 in the start against the Royals tonight. The 2016 AL Rookie of the Year underwent Tommy John in March of last year, and then, you know, obviously with the big delay and everything else. So he's the first time on the mound in what is almost 2 years. So that'll be it'll be interesting to find out what happens. And I think the big thing for the Tigers right now is plate discipline. I mean, the amount of strikeouts that you got to have some quality at-bats. And I guess that looking out is an out. And a lot of people are making a big deal out of the fact that the number of strikeouts that Cincinnati was able to get off of the Tigers. But analytics say it hit it far or don't hit it. Doesn't matter. An out is an out. And I'm kind of on the same, like, if you see a pitch that you like and you want to swing at it, chop at it.
Yeah. And led by, honestly, I agree with you, man, and that's kind of the way the league is going right now, right? I'm not a Major League Baseball expert. I don't pretend to be, but the way everybody's projecting is either home runs or strikeouts right now, right? And that's how your prospects are getting graded and so much and so forth. But you look at Miguel Cabrera, who's arguably one of the best right-handed hitters of all time, and what led to them winning the game Sunday was him drawing that 10-pitch walk. And then Crone hits a home run right behind him. You know, he's battling. You know, the day before, the reliever for the Reds came and served him up the breaking ball, and Cabrera parked it to help win that game. So the Reds manager, the Reds team said, all right, you're going to come in and face Cabrera again, but only fastballs. So 99 to 100 mile an hour fastballs, Cabrera battles, gets a walk, man. So to go to your point about plate discipline, there is a fine line, right? And you have such a professional hitter like Miguel Cabrera, you'd hope that he'd rub off with his young kid.
I think it's the learning curve. I honestly do. I think that you got a lot of guys that are, you know, especially in only the 60-game season, you know, I think we'd be foolish not to think that these guys kind of feel a little bit of a press there, that they want to make something happen. And sometimes you got to let it happen. And as a basketball coach, I'm sure that you can kind of relate to that as well, where sometimes you get guys that are just forcing shots and not necessarily letting the game come to them, you know, me shots versus team shots. And sometimes it can be the same thing when you're at the plate. You know, maybe you take a swing at something that, you know, normally you wouldn't or you didn't like, but you're just pressing a little bit to try to make something happen.
Absolutely. And you nailed it, man. It's like, when you let the game come to you, and that's usually a conversation you have to have at least once a year with every player, like, let the game come to you, don't force the issue, and that's something you say, and then you say it to everyone on the team, and then you pull your best player aside, and you said, no, you keep forcing it, don't let the game come to you. Hey, man, you got the keys to the car, baby. You drive this car, it's a Corvette, we're going to ride up into town, put the sticks in the back, we're going to a country club, man. Hey, don't let the game come to you, you're taking this game over, my man.
He is Kyle Barlow. If you got the juice, you got the keys of the car, you go after him. Coach Barlow, as always, my friend, always a great conversation with you. Thanks for taking the time to join us today.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir.
It's easier than ever to save, and then save some more at Meijer. Look for new signs across the store to check off your list for less. Blue signs show new permanent price drops on everyday favorites like Meijer shredded cheese. Or look for red sale signs. You'll find hot, limited-time prices, like family pack boneless skinless chicken breasts, only $1.88 per pound. With all new low prices, weekly sales, and more at Meijer, how low can your price go? Exclusions apply. See all the deals in the Meijer app.
There is nothing on earth more amazing than the human brain. No computer can match its intellect. No work of art can rival its beauty. And there is nothing on earth more personal than your brain. It defines who you are. It determines how you love and what others love in you. Your brain is unlike anything we have ever known or will ever see. And in a moment, all of that can change forever. Traumatic brain injury, TBI, can happen anywhere, at any time, to anyone. TBI can define who you are. TBI can determine how you will love. There is nothing on earth more amazing than the human brain. And for victims and families of TBI, there is nowhere on earth like the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor.
The Eisenhower Center, leading the way in traumatic brain injury rehabilitation. Learn more at EisenhowerCenter.com.
It's a new day, a day of winning big at Soaring Eagle. During the $1 Million Summer, Saturdays now through September. That's right, $1 Million in premium play is up for grabs. With six players winning $500 every half hour from 9 a.m. to 11:30 p.m. It's the $1 Million Summer, only at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. Visit SoaringEagleCasino.com for complete rules and details.
When you manage a nonprofit organization, you strive every day to fulfill its mission, whether assisting those in crisis or helping them realize their dreams. And all the while, you're facing challenges of your own, such as dwindling resources and increased demand for services, leaving little time to address daily operational, compliance, and accounting issues. That's where we come in. We're Bean Garter. And while your nonprofit works to serve others, we work to serve you, helping you find ways to reduce costs, embark on a capital campaign, analyze growth, or manage compliant issues and requirements. Whether you provide health and human services, support arts and culture, promote education and research, or focus on the environment and animals, we help those who help others. Experience service, expertise, and simplicity at Bean Garter. Find us online, beangarter.com. Bean Garter.